Monday morning. Mark St. Angelo here, 1230 WSOL, and we're on the phone with the CEO of War Memorial Hospital, David John. Dave, good morning to you.
Morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Great. Good Christmas?
Yeah, it was a good time. Always nice to have a couple days off and enjoy the holidays. A little different this year than mm-hmm. most, but still got to do most things that that you were accustomed to do.
So let's, I guess, dive right into where we are as far as cases here in Sault Ste. Marie and Chippewa County.
Well, if you look, you know, and with the holiday weekend, the state, this would be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday count, you know, so 3 days in a row. In Chippewa, we did 142 outpatient tests, and there were 11 positives. The numbers are definitely down, but you would expect it because of the holiday weekend and that sort of thing.
Right.
If you look overall, outpatient-wise, as of 12/26, which would have been Saturday, Chippewa County had 1,296 either probable or confirmed cases.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back a week, it was 1,205, so there were 91 new cases last week. If you look at the UP numbers, in the UP, there were 430 new cases last week. So we had 90 of the 430. So pretty big percentage
right, yeah,
of those new
cases. Right, about 25% or so, yeah.
Right. And, a lot of the outpatient COVID breakout was in the Western UP to begin with, and we didn't see hardly anything. And now they have it a little more under control, and yet we're still seeing, a number of cases. Now, on the inpatient side, things are much better. We only have five. I don't want to downplay it saying
sure.
only.
Right.
We have five inpatients. We had a high at one point of 23, so
wow.
definitely reduced, although we know we're getting one more coming in from the other hospital today, so that'll make it six. There are none of them in ICU, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, we've seen we had one good news case last week where somebody that had been here 50 plus days finally got discharged and was able to go home.
Wow.
You know, we have another patient now that's been in probably 45 days. So, hopefully they'll get to go home here soon. But yeah, when the people who get, really sick are having to stay in the hospital a long time before they can go home. And, we've also had some deaths. I think there's been five at War Memorial, but I think the county last time I knew had 13. Like we were talking before we went on the air, we had hitting it close to home. We had an employee pass away from complications of COVID last week. We also had an employee spouse pass away from complications of COVID a week before that. So, It's out there. It is serious, and not everybody will get hit that way with it. But that death really hit close to home for our staff.
Yeah, it was. I didn't know the lady. I know my wife Sharon, who works at the hospital, knew her really well and was quite upset about it because she said she was such a nice lady, had been there for a long time, and well liked by everybody at the hospital. So.
Yeah, it's a weird disease. You might get it, and you might not have any symptoms, and you might feel fine. And then on the other end, you might get it, and you might die from it. So, that's a risk that's out there right now, and none of us. Know all the answers to it yet, but the best one we can give is social distance, wear a mask, and wash your hands. That's mm-hmm. that's about the best we can do right now.
We're talking to David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital. Last week, Dave, you started in earnest vaccinating your staff. In fact, I know that initially, and I just know this because my wife was supposed to get her vaccine today, but got it last week because the schedule ramped up and it went a lot quicker, I guess, than they initially thought or whatever, and So staff is getting immunized in earnest now, right?
Yes. You know, we had scheduled, you know, people, you know, every 10 minutes, what have you, and we were able to know after the first day we could do it much, much quicker than that. So, mm-hmm. so far, we've actually vaccinated 379 employees, and we've also vaccinated all the long-term care residents who wanted to get vaccinated. There were 30 of them, so mm-hmm. we've done over 400 vaccines, and there's more on the schedule for today and Wednesday. You know, we got 975 doses of the vaccine. We just got confirmation today that tomorrow we will get the other 975 doses, because, you know, you have to have a second dose 3 weeks afterward.
Right.
So there was a little, you know, concern that, okay, we have these doses, and, you know, what's our guarantee to get the other 975? And now we have confirmation that those are coming sometime tomorrow. So we'll be able to do everybody as we had thought we would. You know, we're in phase 1A, which is healthcare workers and long-term care residents, and that phase isn't something that we created. That's something the state and the federal government created.
Mm-hmm.
And then once all of those frontline workers and long-term care residents are vaccinated, then they will go to phase 1B, which is essential employees, so police, fire, teachers, guards, prison guards, you know, public works people, you know, that sort of thing. And then there'll be phase 1C after that, which would be anybody 65 years and older. So the timetable that I've been told is that phase 1A will take from 1 to 5 weeks, phase 1B will be 5 to 15 weeks, phase 1C will be 15 to 22 weeks. So after phase 1C, we get to the general public. So, you know, we're talking probably 22 weeks out, so 5 months. So maybe by early to late spring, the vaccine will be available for the general public. So still a lot of time to practice safely. And even after that, I have a feeling that, you know, we may be maybe into this mask wearing for an extended period of time.
One of the things we talked about last week, Dave, was the fact that it was discovered that initially there were supposed to be 5 doses per vial, and it's been discovered now that there was a 6th dose that was authorized. So you got 975, but then out of that, there's an extra 6 doses or whatever, you know. So I don't know how that figures out as far as total of extra doses that you have, but does that been the case that you've seen as things have been progressing last week?
Right. Yeah, we're getting 6 doses out of every vial, so we actually have 195 more doses than what we expected. So 975 and 195 is, you know, like 1170, something mm-hmm. like that. Which is good. The bad thing is that you know, it's restricted to healthcare workers. Like, mm-hmm. if we have extra doses, we can't go out and offer it to the general public,
right?
Because the state is pretty firm on saying, okay, you do phase 1A first, and then once everybody in phase 1A is done, then you know, phase 1B. And so, you know, we just don't have the latitude to say we have 200 extra doses. You know, who wants,
right? Yeah,
who wants the vaccine?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I know the health department has now got their doses. I know the Sioux Tribe and Bay Mills Tribe have their doses. So, you know, even though we've vaccinated, you know, a little over 400, I know they've done, I think the health department was looking at getting 200 doses. So they're probably within the next day or two have all those out. They started last week. I know Bay Mills Tribe and Sioux Tribe have been immunizing, you know, quite a few. So, there's a lot of outlets for it, but just for the general public at this time, there isn't the ability
right.
to provide the vaccinations. That won't be for a while yet, and it's not based on whether the health department can do it or not. It's based on the availability of the vaccine.
We're talking to David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital. Dave, my wife, she got her vaccine last week there at the hospital. She's a nurse at War Memorial Hospital, and the only side effect that she really reported was just a sore arm, similar to what she would get when she'd get the regular flu vaccine. Any other side effects to the vaccine that you're hearing from the staff?
Really, not anything major. I mean, you know, most people are, I would say the majority of the people are, you know, have a sore arm.
Mm-hmm.
But most people also had a sore arm with the regular flu vaccine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've heard a few of maybe a low-grade fever, maybe a couple others of a headache, that sort of thing, but nothing to any larger degree. And, you know, right now there's you know, millions of doses that are out there being given to frontline workers, and we haven't heard any major complications at all, no matter where you are in the U.S. as far as, you know, healthcare providers running into it, because I'm sure if we would, there'd be alerts that would come out and say, oh, caution on this, caution on that, but we're not seeing any of that. So we feel things are going pretty well at this point, and we aren't seeing those complications, although, you know, with 379 of our employees getting the vaccination and we have 850, that's still less than 50%. So, you know, we'd like to be at 100%. We mm-hmm. can't mandate our staff get vaccines, but we still have a long way to go to get to, you know, that higher percentage of our staff getting the vaccine.
Are you seeing, because I know you had put it out to the staff who wants to get it, and those people who wanted to volunteer to do that. Are you seeing more staff now saying, oh, now that we see other people are getting it and there aren't any bad side effects here a week after getting it, they're stepping up and saying, I want to get mine now?
There's some, but, you know, it's not a mad rush. You know, there's still a lot of people that, you know, probably have, you know, listened to things in social media, that sort of thing, and are still fearful of it. You know, at this point, you know, it's pretty, yeah, I would think with all the dosing that has happened so far, it's proven to be safe, like Pfizer and Moderna had said it was safe in their trials. I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of things out there that, well, if you had COVID, don't get it. If you're pregnant or want to have children, don't get it. You know, I mean, it's the same stuff that, you know, people, you know, hear and say about, you know, the vaccinations that newborns get. You know, back in the day, pretty much everybody got their newborns vaccinated for mumps and measles and, you know, all the whooping cough, that sort of thing. And you know, because of a few complications which are going to happen, you know, because nothing's perfect, now there are a lot of people who don't get their children vaccinated, and
right.
Some people that don't believe in vaccinations. And, you know, that same mindset is holding true with some people with the COVID vaccine as well.
Dave, last week you mentioned that the long-term care residents were going to be vaccinated by the CVS, I guess. And now today you said that that you've gone ahead and vaccinated the residents there at the long-term care unit that wanted to get it. Was that just because you had the extra doses for it, or was there a change in that plan? Or,
well, it was twofold. One was we had the vaccine, and they're the most vulnerable population, and you know, knock on wood, we've been able to keep COVID out of our long-term care mm-hmm. facility, which a lot of places haven't.
Right.
And, you know, that's the highest rate of death in the United States is when it gets into a long-term care unit. So the second reason was that we, you know, CVS probably wasn't going to be able to vaccinate our long-term care residents for 3 or 4 weeks. Well, we certainly looked at that and said, okay, why would we take the risk of waiting 3 or 4 more weeks and possibly have the virus get into our long-term care facility? Why wouldn't we protect as many residents as possible right away? And so that's why we made the decision. I know, you know, that this phase 1A with the health department, you know, and their 200 doses, you know, they're trying to get EMS personnel and you know, any frontline responders, and there's a lot of them between Sioux Fire and Kinross EMS mm-hmm. and, you know, all the Sugar Island ambulance and Drummond Island ambulance. You know, when you take all those people that either volunteer or work for those places, that's a lot.
Sure.
But they're also, you know, probably having to go into the long-term care type facilities or, you know, assisted livings or whatever. So, you know, how long is it going to take to get enough doses to do all those as well? We just felt we had it. We knew that there was a sixth dose in every bottle, so we actually had more than 975. So to do the 30 residents that wanted it in long-term care wasn't going to take away from any frontline staff. And matter of fact, I think if you asked all of our frontline staff, they would say, hey, I'll forego the vaccine. You give it to these long-term care residents first, and once you have enough for them, then come and I'll take the vaccine.
Right. How many, percentage-wise, you said 30 of the long-term care residents got it. Is that percentage-wise how many of the residents there got it?
That's about two-thirds. I think okay. We have about 45 residents in right now. I mean, we're licensed for 51, but, you know, our census has gone down since COVID because of the, you just can't take anybody. You know, they have to isolate for 14 days and make sure they're not COVID positive and all those good things. So, you know, before you could take somebody from long-term care or need a long-term care bed, you could bring them in and take them the next day. Now you have to isolate them for 14 days and make sure they don't have the virus before you can actually take them in your unit. So I think we have about 45, so 30 of 45 would be about two-thirds.
Dave, anything else you want to add? I know we've kind of covered a lot. Sometimes it feels like we're beating a dead horse here with all these statistics and everything, but I think it's important to get the information out to people. Anything else here as we wrap up 2020 and get ready for the new year and hopefully get towards the end of this whole craziness?
Well, you know, it's a virus that spreads very quickly, especially, you know, amongst family members or friends or whatever, and even amongst, you know, employees. And, you know, we had two more employees test positive this morning, and, you know, one particular department, we've seen it basically run through the department. And, you know, I think there's, 13 people in the department, and now 7 of them are positive for it. So, you know, if you're not social distancing, if you're not wearing your mask appropriately, if you're not washing your hands, it can spread pretty quickly. And you know, we need to do a better job here. Fortunately, you know, there's a very few people who are actually frontline workers that have contracted the virus, so that's a good thing. I think we have less than 5 that have, but it's a lot of the ancillary services that are out and about in the hospital, and, you know, they're not contracting it through here. They're getting it from the community or from family members or whatever, and I'm sure every employer in the community is dealing with that with their employees that get symptomatic, or even if they're not symptomatic, that test positive. So, you know, we still have to take those precautions and be careful, and if we do, hopefully we can get the restaurants and the bars and everything else opened up again and get back to normal life here in 2021.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's been, I would imagine at some point, you and I will talk about what this has been like for you, just, you know, personally and as administrator of a hospital. It's just been a nightmare of a year, but, I mean, hats off to the staff there for, you know, for, again, doing a great job and continuing to provide health care for Chippewa County and Sault Ste. Marie, despite having this all hanging over our head here for 2020.
Yeah, all the credit goes to our staff. I mean, you know, no matter what department they're in, you know, they've all been pushed to do things differently. And, you know, if you're a frontline worker, you know, the nurses and whatever, I mean, it's really changed their job as far as the precautions they have to take. And then just the fact that, hey, they're used to curing people and getting them better and sending them home. And sometimes with this virus, they can do everything possible that we know of, and the person's still gonna not make it. And that's what really makes it stressful on doctors and nurses.
Well, Dave, we survived, and it seemed like we didn't have too big of a surge after Thanksgiving, which was great. And let's hopefully you know, keep our fingers crossed that the same result is the same here after Christmas.
Yeah, we're hoping the same, and we hope everybody was able to enjoy Christmas, but we hope they did it safely so we don't see a big surge in the next 7 to 14 days.
Well, I'm sure you're ready to see 2020 go by the wayside and looking forward to 2021, no doubt. We'll look forward to continuing to get updates from you as we head into the new year. But happy new year to you, Dave, and to the entire staff there at War Memorial Hospital. And thanks for everything y'all do there at the hospital. It's amazing, and we're very fortunate to have you here in our community.
Thanks, Mark. Happy new year to you as well.
All right. David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital, joining us here this morning on 1230 WSOL.